Well, good evening, guys. I am so glad to be back with you tonight. It seems like for the longest time, this has we've had something going on every Sunday night before Easter. I believe it's been before Easter that I have been in the pulpit like normal. We had Easter, we had business meetings, we had daycare graduation, I mean, not daycare, but Awanas. And so it's just been a crazy time. And, you know, in 2 weeks, if y'all don't know this, it's Father's Day. So there's another. We never have service on Father's Day. So it's just a busy time right now. But that's okay. So join with me in 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. As we continue looking at the anointing of David as king, this will be part 3 of the series, the anointing of David, part 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 is where we will find God's word tonight. And it is a passage of scripture that you've probably never really studied. And, it's just a passage that I truly enjoyed as I read this past week. And let's read the passage and then we'll talk about where we're headed tonight. The Bible says, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinom, the Jezreelites." I was reading these passages of scripture, and I was thinking of Pastor Shane from last week as he was talking about all the names that he had to. This is how I feel tonight. Same way. Here we go. "And his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggath. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Athria, by Eglah, David's wife. And these were born to David in Hebron." Okay. "And it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine, his name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in to my father's concubine? And then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also accept, as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we open up your word tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 3, Lord, God, I pray that now you would bless the reading and the proclamation of your word tonight. God, I need you. Can't do this without you, Father. So God, as we open up your word, may we learn about your word tonight. This is not a passage that's very familiar, but God, it's one I think is very important as we see the rising of David's kingdom. And this is a very important part of it, I believe. So God, help me to relate this to your people. God, may we have attentive hearts and attentive ears. May we go away tonight learning more about your word. So God, bless this time. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I talked about, as I was saying, that I wanted to start this series of messages about David becoming king, I wanted to start it here at the church. However, I couldn't because we've been so busy. And so, this is part three of what we have been doing. Now, if you've not been watching the video cast that I do when we're not here, then you need to hear what I'm about to say. In the beginning of 2 Samuel, we recognize that Saul has died. David now gets word that Saul is dead, and there were some people around Saul's camp that were extremely excited for the news. However, David was saddened that the king had passed away. Even though this should make his life easier, David was still saddened. And then we jump down to chapter 2, and we see that David is anointed king over Judah. Only Judah. And as David prayed where to go, he felt the overwhelming sense of God's guidance upon his life to go to Hebron. And so they all gathered together and they went. As he went, he took his family and also he took the people of Judah. And as they did, he desired to expand his kingdom as he went down to Jabesh Gilead. And he sent a spokesman unto to talk to about a merger to grow David's kingdom. But the question that we found out last time was, they didn't go along with what David wanted. They instead went with the uprising of Saul's last son. And his name was Ish-bosheth. Now, Abner, which you've probably heard in our pastor scripture many times, Abner was Saul's captain. So he was a very important person in this picture. And Abner is the one that takes Ish-bosheth and creates and continues Saul's reign. And so the people of Jabesh Gilead go with Abner and Ish-bosheth. Now, the question that we need to answer is this. How did Ish-bosheth lead? How did he lead? Well, the Bible teaches us that he only led for 2 years. And so the rest of chapter 2, we see Abner getting in a fight with one of David's men named Ishbosheth. And unfortunately, it was a bloodbath, and there were many men lost on both sides of the battle. And Ishbosheth was one of them, killed by Abner. And so now we get down to chapter 3. We get down to chapter 3, and we continue to see the ongoing struggle between David and the house of Saul, the kingdom of Saul. Ish-bosheth is in his reign. Abner is his right-hand man, and all of that. Then, and so now, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Now remember, let's always remember this as we look at chapter 3, that God ordained David to be the next king over Israel. Okay? Let's not forget that. So in verse 1, we see that David's army grows stronger. Look with me in verse 1. It says, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." Now, what does this tell us here? This teaches us here that David's army became stronger and Ish-bosheth became weaker. Now, I tried to find what I could see. I tried to find any information I could. When it talks about the long war, here's what I found out. This is from one commentary. It seems probable that after Ish-bosheth's murder during the 5 years before David's election to the throne of all Israel, the house of Saul had some puppet representative at Mahanaim. Now that is the capital of Ish-bosheth's kingdom. And some commander in Abner's place. But after the death of this able man, matters would go from bad to worse. And though David probably remained on the defensive, yet the contrast between the peace and good government of Judah and the misery in Israel made all the tribes wish to push to an end of the harassing civil war. It is plain, too, that the Philistines, repelled at first by Abner's skill, had again gained the ascendant and regarding themselves so completely as rulers of the country that they resented themselves immediately with the summary violence, the bold act of the northern tribes in choosing David to be their common king. So basically what you have here is there's a basically what I can see, considering when we talk about a long war, there's a time period between David becoming king of Judah and David becoming king over the nation of Israel, everyone, and that was about 7 years. And so from what I can see here, that is what he's talking about here as the long war. And so through much investment, we can see that God was blessing David's army. And as he was growing stronger and stronger, while Ish-bosheth and the house of Saul was becoming weaker and weaker. Now, why was this? It goes back to God's promise to David. God told David, you will be the next king. And as he did so, he blessed David's army. And so, Abner, Ish-bosheth had other plans, but God's plan was going to be fulfilled. It was going to be fulfilled. And so, we see through this time, David's army becomes stronger. Now, here is a way that David's army becomes stronger. Look with me in verses 2 through 5. 2 through 5. The Bible says here. And I don't want to read it all over to him because I'm not great at these names. And David were sons born in Hebron, and the first was Abner. So what do we see here? While in Hebron, David now has... Are you listening? David now has 6 wives, 6 sons, and they're all by different... There's one child per one wife. And they're all sons. So he has 6 different children with 6 different wives. Now, these individuals, these wives, some of them, they believe were for political reasons. Now look with me. I want to read a preacher's outline of the Sermon Bible. It says, 3 of David's marriages were probably established because of political purposes, to form alliances with surrounding nations and rulers in order to consolidate his power. Here we go. Jezreel, the home of David's wife Ahinoam. Now remember, that was the first child, first son by David in Hebron, says this, is located in southern Judah, and so is Carmel, the home of Abigail. Through these marriages, David was able to strengthen his support in southern Judah. Also note that his wife, Micah, was the daughter of Timnah, king of Geshur, which was across the Jordan River. Now listen to this. Just north of Mahanaim. Remember, Mahanaim is Ish-bosheth's capital. Okay? So, it's very important. It says, by forming this alliance, David was able to de-establish and keep constant pressure upon the rule of Ish-bosheth and his military commander, Abner. So, David, get the picture here. David has 6 wives, And three of them, David now is able to take and use to grow his army base, to grow his area. Now, these six sons here, I want to just share a little bit about. Amnon the first, it says in verse 1 and verse 2, and who knew David were sons born in Hebron, and the first was Amnon of Hinnom, the Jezreelites. Now, Amnon was the firstborn who was destined to be the heir to the throne. However, if you read 2 Samuel, he was killed by some of the followers of Absalom, which was David's third son. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look at, go with me there. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 28 through 29. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 28 and 29. The Bible says, "Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark you now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon." What does that mean? Kill him. Kill him. "And then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. And then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. So we see that Amnon was to be the heir to the throne, but his own brother killed him. Now we've got Chileab. Chileab says, and the second, this is verse 3, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Now, throughout the Word of God, this is the only time that we can find anything about him. Some commentators suggest that Chileab was killed. He died years before David did, perhaps even in his very early childhood. This is the only place that we can find anything about Chileab. Thirdly, Absalom. Absalom was the mean boy, okay? He was the mean son. Look at this. And the third, this is verse 3. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. What do we find here? As we've already spoke a little bit about him, Absalom was that mean brother. He was that heartless brother. He was that terrible brother. Terrible man. Why? Because he killed his brother. Why? Because of power. But also, and we'll read a little bit about it as we continue in 2 Samuel, we find in chapters 13 through 18, Absalom will lead a revolt against his own father, David. He's a very cruel man. Very mean man. But that is David's son. Then fourth, we have Adonijah, and the son, he is the son of Haggai. And the only thing that we see about him was he was assassinated for insurrection, trying to take the throne before Solomon could be crowned. And this comes from 1 Kings, actually, chapters 1 and 2. Then we have Shephatiah, and the only thing that we can find about here is he's in the genealogy of David from 1 Chronicles 3 and 3. And then Ithream, the only thing we can find about him is he's in the genealogy of David from 1 Chronicles 3 and 3. So there's not a lot about David's sons that we can find in the Word of God besides of Amnon and Absalom. Amnon was to be the heir to the throne, but the other one said, no, you're not. Absalom said, you're not. But David's army grew with his sons. But here is what I want to get to tonight. David's army, are you listening? Grew through Saul's man Abner. David's army grew through Saul's man Abner. Look with me in verse 6. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. This is very important. Abner was building a powerhouse. Abner was well known. Abner was very wise. Abner had a lot of people backing him. That is important. So he built a power base. Now, we need to understand, though, there's one problem. Ishbosheth, as he continued his reign, Abner as his leader, there was only one problem. Many people began to like Abner, and Abner was strengthening his own position and building a strong power base for himself. As one wrote, Abner was driven by selfish ambition, perhaps plotting to assert the throne and have himself crowned king over Israel. But now, do you see what's taking place here? There was an uproar between Ishbosheth and Abner. Ishbosheth could see that Abner was gaining power. Ishbosheth could see that Abner was gaining popularity. Ishbosheth could see that Abner was a threat to him. Now, does this sound familiar to you? Same thing that happened to Ishbosheth's father, Saul. Saul did not like the popularity of David. Saul loved that David went to battle Goliath, and he loved that he defeated Goliath. But as he did, David's popularity began to increase. He began to gain power. He began to gain authority over people and all those things. And what did Saul do? Saul became jealous of David. And as Saul became jealous of David, he began to seek him out and to kill him. We've seen time and time again many plots of how to kill him. He tried to throw his sword. He tried to take his sword to kill David. He tried to do many ways to kill David. He took army after army to kill David, but God took care of David. And this is exactly what's taking place here with Ishbosheth and Abner. Ishbosheth is jealous of Abner's popularity. So, what did Abner do? What did Ishbosheth do? Well, it tells us in verse 7. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, and the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, look at this, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? So what does he say here? Abner unexpectedly was accused by Ishbosheth to take away his throne. He was accusing him of having an affair with Rizpah, who had been one of Saul's wives. See, as one wrote, this was a very serious charge against Abner. For the royal harem always became the property of the king's successor. So by sleeping with the wife, Abner was laying claim to royal privileges. So Ishbosheth was scared that he was going to lose his throne. So what does he do? He makes up a lie. He makes up a lie. Why? Because he was jealous of who Abner was. See, if it wasn't for Abner, Ishbosheth would not be where he was. He was the very one that pushed him to become king. He owed it all to him, but it didn't matter. He looked at Abner as a problem, and so he made up a lie so that Abner would be sentenced to going against the king, obviously, and he could get rid of Abner as his threat. That was his thought in his mind. Why? Because he was jealous. Jealousy, I've told you through the study of David, jealousy will cause you to do things that you normally would not do. I'm certain Abner and Ishbosheth had a great friendship. They had a great relationship. But popularity, power, and position caused Abner to do something that he normally wouldn't do. So Abner looks at him and he becomes angry. Have you ever got angry when somebody accused you of doing something that you didn't do? Yeah. I think we all have. We've got angry when people say that you've done this and you hadn't done it at all. You know, I remember back in school, you know, people would accuse you. I remember one time, I've never told this story. I'm gonna confess my faults to my brothers and sisters. It's a funny story. The person's actually been to our church a few times. But anyways, one of my buddies, he had done something, and this boy, I was a junior in high school, and is at a basketball game, and this boy thought that I'd done it. Man, he was ready to fight me. I mean, all out fight me. And he kept accusing me. I got to the point where I was ready to fight him too. I'm not going to lie. And then I said, dude, I ain't done anything to you. I ain't said anything to you. You've got the wrong man. And my buddy finally told me, he said, I'm the one that spread it. I'm the one that told him. Now what are you going to do about it? You know? But I was so mad. Because I'd been accused of something that I had zero to do with. Nothing to do with. But that's how Abner was. He had not done this. He hadn't done anything to Ishbosheth. But, so what does he do? Abner becomes angry. Look at me in verse 8. Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day into the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also accept, as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him. So Ishbosheth accused Abner of having an affair with Rizpah, who had been one of Saul's wives. And Abner declared that he was not a contemptible Judean dog, a scavenger of women, a betrayer of King Ishbosheth. He said, I've never betrayed you. I've never betrayed your family. I've been there with you through it all. I've helped you do everything, and now you are accusing me of a terrible thing. Listen, we must never forget that this was Saul's right-hand man. But Ishbosheth, because of jealousy, accused him of something terrible. Now, what does Abner do? Abner threatens to transfer to David's kingdom. Look at me in verse 9 and 10. So do God to Abner more also accept, as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so do I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. So what does Abner say? I love this. Abner had enough with his accusations and said, if you continue on with this false accusation, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my support. I'm going to take my army. I'm going to take everything that I have, and I'm going to support David. And he will be the one that will get everything. He will be the ruler over it all. And the Bible says that Abner trembled. Not trembled, but that's not exactly what it says. But he said, and he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. Ishbosheth was scared to death of what Abner was saying. Uh-oh. You going to go be with David? You going to support David? What does that mean for me? See, Ishbosheth knew that if Abner left him and took those people, took the men, and then you added David's army with Abner and his army, where would that leave Ishbosheth? And where would they come? Who would they come for next? Ishbosheth. And he knew that. He couldn't say a word because he feared him. Well, now think about this. This is the last thing we're going to learn about tonight. But think about this. Abner was not David's friend. Okay? Let's get that in our heads. Abner was the one that was going after David's head for quite some time. As Saul's right-hand man, he was the one that was going after David's head. Look at me in verse 12. And Abner sent messengers. Why do you think he had to send messengers to David? Because he was scared that David would kill him. Hey, you think about someone. If someone came to you, they've been trying to kill you over and over again, and came up to your door, what are you going to do? Well, just come on in. No, that ain't how you're going to be. No. And Abner knew that. So let's see what he says. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is this land? Saying also, make thy league with me. And behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee. That is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. So what do we see here? Abner leaves Ishbosheth and gave, he leaves Ishbosheth and gave word to David. And as he did so, the terms were this. That Abner had returned his wife, Michal. Do you remember that? All the way back, David married Saul's daughter, Michal. And David said, you can join my army if you bring Saul's daughter, Michal, back to me. See, what would this do? David would be reestablishing his relationship with Saul's family, therefore giving him the legal claim to all of Saul's territory. But do you see how God used someone to make God's man stronger? He used even Abner, Saul's right-hand man. He turned his heart to David, and they now are going to become a great alliance. So what can we learn from this passage tonight? See, God was working it all out for Ishbosheth to become weaker and weaker. Ishbosheth needed Abner, but Abner didn't need Ishbosheth. See, by joining forces with David, David's army became stronger and more powerful. This was part of God's plan that would come to pass no matter what. So may we find God's word tonight as a blessing and a challenge today. May we never allow jealousy to get into our lives, because as we continue to see, jealousy brings about things in our lives that will cause us to do things we normally would not do. And as we saw in our passage tonight, it can bring about things that will tear us down. This right here would be the first major step in the downfall of Ishbosheth.